Well, welcome everyone who's called in, and those of us here with your smiling faces. This is a sharing tonight that's not going to require any kind of homework, but it's going to require you to take it home, okay? You get really blessed when you listen to the manifestations that people hold forth. You know, it's not something that we should ever take for granted, and it's not something that they're just going to do that, you know. No, listen to the word, and you are going to be blessed in one way or another, right? And yesterday in fellowship, I believe Bob called on Rebecca Meekins to have a word of prophecy. And what she said, well, part of what she said anyway, is relevant to what I'm going to share tonight. And it really blessed me to hear her say that. And I quickly wrote it down before I forgot. And what she said that God put on her heart to say was, there are many forces in this world that try and keep us and you and I from gathering together and to keep us divided. But I am bigger than the world. That's what she said. And when she said that, I said, wow, Father, you're kind of like priming me for tomorrow, I guess, you know. But it goes back to just really listening to what people have to say when it comes to manifestation. So tonight, what I'm going to share on is something that has everything to do with standing. And that's our theme for this year, standing the Word of God, okay? But this has everything to do with standing. And we are doing this, what I'm going to talk about, here in this room right now. I'm not going to ask you to guess, because there's a lot of things we're doing right now. But it's something that is very much, it helps our standing for the Lord and this one body we belong to. The world has been dealing with this over the history of mankind. But because man doesn't always agree on a number of many different things, which is okay in some regard, they don't do what we're going to look at. To any great amount of people anyway. So now, just what is this act that God speaks about in His Word? Well, it's the title of the sharing, and it's called unity. Unity. Unity with the Father. Okay? And to stand, you want to have unity, right? Can you stand by yourself? Absolutely. But we belong to a family. Everyone is peculiar in their own way. Not all of us are eyes, not all of us are hands, not all of us are feet, but we all comprise and we unite to make the one body of Christ. We'll see this unity in different ways tonight. Even the churches in the world today, there's many different kinds. They're not all unified. Hopefully, they're all praising the one true God, but because man sticks his opinion in things. One church says Jesus Christ has a belly button. Another one says he doesn't. This church says he had black hair. This church says he has blonde hair. Whatever the case may be. See? But we need to be united when it comes to the Word of God. And the best way to do that is to open up His Word and read it and take Him at His Word. Okay? God spoke to humans like us and said, write this down. Why did he do that? Was he testing their memory? No. He wanted to give a love letter to the generations that would follow, generation after generation. So, we see this unity in things like unions. What's a union's rally cry? We must be united! We must be united! You know? Why? Because there's strength in that. They don't want a bunch of division in the unity, or in the union. So they cry that out. How about this expression of unity and allegiance? The Pledge of Allegiance of the United States of America. In that Pledge of Allegiance, there's lines such as United States of America. Okay? And unity, united, is something that cannot be taken apart. It's the opposite of being of coming together. Another line in the Pledge of Allegiance is, for which it stands. There's a standing again, for which it stands. See, that's in our Pledge of Allegiance. And the last one that I want to mention, it says, one nation under God, and what's the next word? Indivisible. Indivisible. Okay, you can't separate it. All the states are united to comprise and make the United States of America. So, I want to show you a point that God is making. And for this, I need everyone, if you want, to turn to Ecclesiastes. As I turn there, Ecclesiastes, and when you get there, go to chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 9. Some of you may know this, most of you should, but anyway, God's making a point here. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. First thing he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone, when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have cheat. But how can one be warm alone? And verse 12. And if one prevail against him, who shall withstand him? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay? So God's proven a point here. And this can be applied to marriage, but I mentioned marriage. And in marriage, let me give you a sample of God's math. God's math is 1 plus 1 equals 1. The world says, that's 2. No, it's 1. Husband and wife get together and they make that one bond with the Father. So that's God's math. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. I will read this out of the NLT. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Verse 2, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. That's unity. That's unity. That's the definition of unity. Now, again, in marriage, the unity of bringing two together is vital. It's important. It's part of being married. So I'm going to mention, and I'm going to use mathematical symbols to drive home a point to show how they lend themselves to unity. Okay? Mathematical symbols. First, you have the addition symbol, the plus sign. Okay? So a couple can add many good things to the relationship for improving and strengthening the bond. Would you agree? Both of you are married in here or have been married? I think you'd agree to that.
Ever?
Yeah. Okay, how about the subtraction symbol, the minus sign? In marriage, from time to time, either the husband or the wife must take away things that may cause separation. Now, what about the good old multiplication symbol? Well, we can always multiply our love. And that's not just in marriage, it's to one another. Okay? We can also always multiply our love. And what about our words of building each other up? Can we multiply that? Absolutely. I do it all the time, you know. I don't just tell Shanti I love you once a year. Mm-hmm. I tell her every day, and I let her know how significant her life is to mine. It's part of staying united in the relationship and reminding one another how important each one of us are. We can always multiply with compassion things that are found in God's Word, all right? Who can give me an example of something in God's Word that we can always multiply? Speak up, somebody.
Besides love?
Besides love, yeah.
Grace, mercy.
Right.
Kindness.
What about SIT? Can we multiply speaking in tongues? Hopefully, every day. Every day, as much as we can. Now, all this brings us to the good old division symbol. First of all, we do not want to do anything that causes division. Exclamation point. Such things as unforgiveness and a list of others. But this isn't a marriage seminar, so we'll stop there. But I just thought that was another way to look at unity. Let's go to the Word and see some of this unity, okay? So the first place we're going to go to is Psalms. And when you get to Psalms, I would ask that you go to chapter 133. And in Psalms 133, there's only three verses, but we're going to look at verse 1. Psalms 133, 1. And it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity." Why would God put that in His Word? Because He means what He says and says what He means. Unity isn't getting a vaccination. Unity isn't cutting someone's lawn. Unity is getting together, one another. And especially when it comes to the Word of God and what He says, who we are and what we can do. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. You see, unity, or the lack thereof, I should say, has been the downfall of a lot of societies over the history of man. Or another one you could easily say is greed. But when you come together with the love of God to what He tells us from His Word, you can't go wrong. You'll not be doing the wrong thing. You'll not be being united for the wrong reason. Okay? We have to remember that, you know? And especially when you're alone, think of, who can I be united with right now? Please, let me talk to this person. Okay? So I said Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read the NLT on this one. Verse 1. "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you and lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." And verse 3, "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." So we're like this real big sandwich. We're going to be united. We're going to get the jar of peace. You just slather the two halves and we make a wonderful sandwich, the whole lot of us, right? And Matthew chapter 12, please. It's been a blessing over the years. I've been involved with the Word of God, being united with many, many folks. And occasionally, I'll go to my contacts in my phone, and I'll say, you know what, I need to call this person. I haven't heard from them in years. And I did that the other day. And thank God their numbers were still the same. But we talked about the old days and what they're doing now, what I'm doing now. But at the end of the phone call, they're saying, "Boy, I'm glad you called me. And I'm glad you answered so that we can be united and talk about things, you know." And it was just a big blessing, you know, how you find out how people are growing up and their kids are growing up and whatever. But the bottom line is you show an interest in that person to call them and to see how they're doing. So you're united through the phone call. Matthew chapter 12, we will start in verse 22. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, oh, the Pharisees, they got big ears. You know that? Pharisees got real big ears. When they heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, one of the devil's sidekicks. Verse 25, and Jesus, he knew their thoughts, and this is what he said to them. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or household divided against itself shall not stand. And then verse 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? You see, that's what the adversary wants to do with God's kingdom and his people, is to get us divided. But we've already seen in a few verses, there's many, many more, how God says we are to be united, like-minded, like-hearted in the Spirit with God. That's not hard to do. It really isn't. Because it's not like saying, oh yeah, we need to stand together on what Al thinks about this or what so-and-so thinks about that. No. What I'm sharing with you tonight is from God's Word. Don't matter if you agree with other things that I do, but this, we're to be united. We're to have that unity, which is the crux of a Christian's life. Even if you were to decide, this is just hypothetical, even if you were to decide, you know what, I'm not fellowshipping with anyone anymore because they hurt my feelings or whatever like that, be united with the Father in the Spirit. Because you know what? He's eventually going to turn your heart around and say, you know what? You ain't doing this right. Yeah, I want you to be united with me. But you've got some brothers and sisters that need your words and help. You can help build them up. So bite your tongue, get rid of your ego and your pride, and get back to being united with the family, with the body. And it's something that, you know, I look forward to, because I have to go to work, like some of you here, and I find myself in a world of people that have various opinions and are divided with this thing or another. But you know what? If it gets that bad with me, I just take one step back and I think, you know what? But I got a family, the one body of Christ, to be united with. And I know they love me and I love them. So life isn't bad at all. It's great. Oh, what a day. So in closing, the heart in unity is to unite the heart in believing all that God shows us in such things as serving, healing lives with the best medicine known to man, and that's a merry heart, and ministering to the needs of God's people, the one body, as exemplified with this unity by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. You know, we know that Jesus Christ went through horrific death. He had to endure all that. Why did he do that for? To bring God a family. To bring us to be united. Bring unity in the one body. That's why he did that. You see? That's why it was joy to him. I was, wait a minute. Is there another way? You know? Yep, I know already the cup was passing, but you got another cup I can pass. That's a big deal. But Jesus Christ said, yes, of my own free will, I will do that for my Father. And look what it's done. How many people or Christians do you think have been united from his life to the present? Too many to count. And it still goes on and on and on. And we should be active members, proactive members of uniting people. We do it in many different ways. We do it through outreach with Bob Jeannie and Paula and the rest of them that get together. They're united in offering prayer to strangers. And we hear stories, countless stories of how wonderful that turns out to be. Are there a couple of people that say no? Yeah, but is that going to stop you? No. Okay? I make phone calls and receive phone calls all day long. And then I start looking forward to praying for someone at the end of the phone call. And I've made bunches of them now, but I might have had one, maybe two of it. Because, no, I'm good. Okay, I respect that. But for the most part, people say, oh, you, I didn't know you were going to ask me to do that. I said, yes, I'm asking you. And we prayed. So staying united with the love of God is a big deal. And again, Jesus Christ was the perfect example in bringing all men to an everlasting life. Amen? Amen. We're going to end the sharing right now, and as soon as my technician comes on over here...